Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
As has already been mentioned, today marks the fourth and final Sunday in our stewardship series. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at what a life of stewardship looks like. We've been exploring unity in the Spirit. What does it mean to be unified in the Spirit and its consequences through the power of the Holy Spirit for our stewardship? We've been looking at diversity. God gives us all sorts of gifts. Some of those gifts are different from others' people, but God calls us all to use those gifts for His glory, to share His gospel, to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. And then last week, Pastor Steve preached a sermon in which we are called to do our part. Do your part that God has called you to practice, to be knit together as a body, as ligaments of a body. We are knit together as one, and God uses us to bring glory to Him and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs it. And today we wrap up our series on stewardship by looking at how God richly provides. And to do that, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. You'll find this printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along here in the sanctuary, or if you're following along at home, I invite you to do so in your Bible or on the screens behind me. Again, this is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And are you far more valuable to Him than any birds? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you. I just mentioned before we read our scripture that we are wrapping up our stewardship season. But there's a warning here. To say that we are wrapping up our stewardship season is not an invitation to get the idea in your head that somehow stewardship is a temporary thing. That here at Congo Pres, we are encouraging you, we are inviting you to come alongside us in the months of October and for 4 weeks to think about stewardship, to practice stewardship, and then we're done, when we're done with those 4 weeks, to put them aside. To say, check mark, we did it. Now we can think about other things, maybe more important things, and put stewardship aside. No, that's not what we are encouraging you to do. You see, as a follower of Jesus Christ, stewardship is a constant in your life. Stewardship is in the bedrock of practices and ideas that we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to in every single moment. Every single day of our lives, we are called to be stewards. But I find in my own life that I often practice stewardship like I practice yard work. I'm in the process right now of cleaning up all of the leaves in front of Charlie and I's house. If you've ever been to our house, you know we have a very large maple tree, and then across the street there are other trees, and they all find out, I don't know how, a way to drop all their leaves directly on our property. And I stare at these leaves for weeks on end. And Charlie stares at me for weeks on end, simply insinuating, you know, it's about time you clean them up. So I'll go out there and I'll clean them up. Now, if I were proactive, I would just set aside time in the week, every single week, to do that kind of yard work. I would take a proactive approach to doing the stewardship of the yard that I own and take care of. But that's not how I do it. You see, I wait till there's a mess. I wait till there's a problem. And until another mess presents itself, I won't touch the yard again once I'm finished cleaning up these leaves. That's how I approach the stewardship of my yard. And I think that we often approach stewardship in other areas of our lives in the same way. We practice stewardship as a solution to a problem. Our lives feel out of control and chaotic, and so we decide in that moment that we're going to practice stewardship of our time. Our personal finances are stretched thin, and so we decide in that moment, I'm going to practice stewardship of my money. A friend or a spouse feels distant, and so in that moment, I decide to practice stewardship in my relationships. And so in other words, we find ourselves only practicing stewardship as a reaction. Stewardship is reactionary. We are stewards because external pressures force us to be. But that's not Jesus's approach to stewardship. You see, for Jesus, stewardship is not a reaction to external pressures or a problem, but a response to God's abundant provision. For Jesus Christ, stewardship begins with recognizing that God abundantly provides for every single one of us. And so we are stewards because God has first richly provided. This past couple of years have probably provided you with an opportunity to reflect on that provision. Whether it was COVID, whether it was the consequences of COVID, meaning you may have lost your job, maybe your finances were strained, or maybe you lost someone close to you in your life. There are all sorts of reasons, but I think that these last couple of years have provided a great opportunity to think of all the times that God has richly provided for you. Take a moment and do that. Think about all those times where God showed up in big and small ways and provided for you richly. We don't often do this in our lives. We often get wrapped up in the idea that I don't have enough. The author and writer Brené Brown says that we live in a culture of scarcity. We're constantly looking around us and saying to ourselves, there's just not enough. And so when there's not enough, we go to God and we say, God, are you going to show up? But the truth is God has been showing up again and again and again in your life and in my life and in the life of this congregation. God continues to provide richly for us. And His faithful provision changes how we approach stewardship. Stewardship should not be a reaction to a problem. Stewardship is a response to how God richly provides for each one of us. And it begins with rethinking the role of worry in our lives. In verse 22, Jesus says to His disciples, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear." I don't know if you guys know these individuals. I am one of these individuals at times in my life, but I also have others in my life who are more maybe consistently this way. For some people, worry is a source of comfort to them. They carry worry like my daughter carries around her little lovey, who I'm sure she's introduced to every single one of you. A couple of mornings ago, I was going to take her to school, and we've been practicing really ever since she started going to daycare that lovey takes a nap in her crib while Epperly's at work. And so this morning, we brought lovey into the crib, and I grabbed lovey. I said, okay, lovey's going in the crib, and I about put her in, and she said, no, not yet. I said, what's wrong, Epperly? She says, not yet, Dada. And she grabbed lovey, she sat down, she stuck her thumb in her mouth. She sat there for about 3 seconds and said, okay, ready. And she gave me lovey, and we put it back. She needed that moment with her lovey, right? She needed to kind of charge up for the day of screaming friends and sharing and all that she was going to experience at daycare. But for so many of us, we treat worry in the same way. Life isn't going well unless there is a certain amount of worry that I'm experiencing. We get comfortable worrying about our lives. But we don't recognize is that this worry carries that an immense amount of weight. It's a burden. It's like someone is just adding a drop to a bucket every single day. And we keep carrying around that bucket in our arms until that bucket gets fuller and fuller and fuller until we're finally crushed under that worry. And again, going back to what we said earlier, it's when we're beginning to be crushed that we start thinking about how do we practice stewardship in our lives. And suddenly stewardship is always orbiting around the worry that we experience from day to day. But the problem with that is this. When worry becomes the driving force of stewardship in your life, God's rich provision begins to be seen through the eyes of survival. God's rich provision is viewed as a means of survival. When I'm constantly worrying about the things that are going on in my life, and God shows up and provides for me again and again and again, I see it as a, whew, dodge that bullet. God gave me just what I needed in order to survive that moment. I want you to think about this sentence. God provides so that you fill in the sentence for yourself. God provides so that I think many of us finish that sentence with something like, God provides so that I can have what I need. That's a survival mentality. The idea that God gives to you what you need just so that you can make it through the day. I think that's a wrong way of seeing God's provision. You see, survival is not the goal. Jesus is very clear that stewardship leads to something more than survival. And he says that to us directly in verse 23. He says, for life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Friends, survival is not the goal of stewardship. God providing richly to you, the end is not that you just make it. The end is that you flourish. God says there is something to this life so much more than the food you eat, the clothing you have, the car you drive, the job that you work, whether or not you have enough in your 401k, whatever it might be, survival is not the goal. Flourishing is the goal. Now, we're going to define what flourishing is here in a moment because it doesn't mean that you're rich, right? When we say that God richly provides all of us, we're like, yeah, I like that idea, right? So where are more zeros in our bank account? That's not what God is encouraging. To flourish means something else, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But what it means to practice stewardship, the end goal is that we flourish. We live the life that God has called us to live. In verse 27, Jesus gives us an example of what that looks like. He says, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Now, Jesus uses this metaphor, if you will, to continue to say, you're more important than lilies, right? So God is going to take care of you. But when Jesus uses a metaphor, when he tells a parable, I think he invites us to pick it apart, to explore it a little bit, to see the depth of what he is saying. And when Jesus uses the example of lilies, I think he's doing so much more. Flowers are a beautiful thing. I know many of you guys here are gardeners yourselves. There's so much joy in growing a beautiful flower. And yet a flower is so simple. It doesn't have a lot. It gets, as the kids shared a little bit earlier, it's water, it's sunshine, and it grows into something that brings joy to people around it. You see, Jesus uses the example of a lily to teach us that God provides so that, like the lily, we can flourish and be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why God provides for our needs. It's in the simplicity of having what you need from God and using that to bring joy to the gospel of Jesus Christ to others around you. I met a lily of a field when I was in Croatia with Charlie. This was years back when we lived in D.C. We had the opportunity to do some traveling. And we went to Croatia, and we went to this beautiful city called Dubrovnik. Now, if you've ever been to the city of Dubrovnik, it's everything you would expect from an old, old European port town. Beautiful walls, basically a castle. We would walk the wall at night looking down over the ocean. Stunning. And during the days, we would walk the streets. Now, whenever I go on vacation, I'm always looking for that special souvenir, right? Like, I don't want the magnet that you found at Mount Rushmore to pin right on your refrigerator. That doesn't interest me. I want something that was made locally by somebody else, something that represents the place that you visited. And as we were walking the streets of Dubrovnik, Charlie and I came across an old woman. And she was sitting in this street, and next to her was a pile of yarn of all different colors, two knitting needles, and a table. And she was sitting there knitting hats. And she was selling these hats to anyone who passed by and was willing to pay €1, at that time about $2, for a handmade, beautifully knit hat. I knew this was exactly what I was looking for. And I bought the hat. And we began, you know, trying to communicate. She didn't speak a lick of English, but we smiled and we laughed, and I looked at different hats, and she put them on my head, and she said, handsome, 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 right? I mean, we were trying to choose what hat. And it came to me that here's a woman who clearly does not have very much, right? She's supplementing her income by selling hats into a street that's not very busy. But she is filled with joy. I think on some level, whether maybe she even recognized it or not, she knew that her needs were provided for. And the joy of that, of knowing that her life wasn't just about survival, it was about bringing the joy that she had to other people as well, was a teaching moment for me in my own thought about what does it mean for me to know that God provides for my needs and then sends me out to bring joy into the world. I still have that hat. It's called my inside hat, though, because Charlie doesn't let me wear it outside. She says I look goofy, and frankly, she's probably right. God gives us what we need so that we can be who we are. God gives us what we need so we can be who we are. God doesn't give us what we need so we can just survive. He gives us what we need so we can be who we are. And who are we? Well, Jesus gives us an image of it in verse 30. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. Who are we? We are kingdom seekers. We are witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are individuals who have been transformed by Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High, and we go out into the world to tell other people about the joy that we know of His salvation, His grace, and His continued guidance in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are kingdom seekers. We are stewards in every single moments of our lives. We practice unity. We practice diversity. And we do our parts that God has called us to do. This is who we are, and God provides richly for us so that we can live in to that calling that He has given us. And so my question for you this morning is very simple. Do you see all the ways in which God is richly providing for you? Every single day, He is giving you exactly what you need, not to survive, but to flourish, to be a kingdom seeker, to be an individual who's transformed by His love and is sharing that love with other people. Do you recognize all those ways in which God is providing for you? If you don't, it might be because worry is controlling your life. It might be because your stewardship orbits around this idea that I just can only get what I need to survive. And Jesus is saying to every single one of us in this passage this morning, no, it's about flourishing. About living into the calling that God has given you. And what is the result of when we live into that call? Jesus says in verse 33, so don't be afraid of the flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. It gives God joy to provide for your needs so that you are who He has created you. That brings God happiness. And so the Lord's stewardship is rooted not in fear, not in worry, but in joy. And He calls us to live into that joy as we practice our own stewardship and live into the calling which He has given us. Let us pray. God, in your grace and in your mercy, you have called us to be stewards. We are to be stewards, Lord, in our unity. We are to be stewards in our diversity. We are to be stewards, Lord, in playing the role, the part that you have given us, doing our part as we are knit together as one congregation and family in you here at Congo Press. But God, all of this is possible because you richly provide for us. And so God, in these moments when we want to worry, in these moments when we want to think that we don't have enough, God, I want you to challenge us to see that your provision is not about survival, it's about flourishing. It's about being kingdom seekers. It's about being provided for, Lord, so that we can bring your hope, your love, and your mercy to the world. Give us the courage, Lord, to claim that for ourselves as you offer to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in His name. Amen.